Hey there, Zlatko here. Welcome to What Is My Brain podcast. Thanks for tuning in. I get the opportunity to chat with fellow founders and business operators about their journey and how they got to where they are now, where they are going, and how they're going to get there. I'm planning on bringing guests and touching on topics such as running multiple businesses, executing ideas, and just spitballing about random topics and current events. It's a casual conversation, and that will hopefully bring value to anyone that decides to listen. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for tuning in.
All right, here we go. What's up, Chanel? How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Like I said, thank you so much for jumping on. I've been devouring some of your newsletters and your content. I just want to say epic job in what you're doing out there and putting in all that work. So amazing stuff.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was just, like I said, I was really, really interested in you dropped some, you know, awesome content also recently about Jesse and Justin Welsh and a bunch of other people. And I was just like, man, this girl puts in a lot of this work. So I wanted to get to know you a little bit. I wanted to, you know, shine some light and share your story and kind of go from there. So I want to give you the floor, and if you want to introduce yourself and say a little bit about yourself, it's all yours, and what kind of work you do and all that good stuff.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. So I've been running paid ads for clients since 2017, left my full-time job in 2017, and I've always been really interested in how people grow their email lists. So I've helped people with like the paid ad side of things. But I was always curious how people did it without paid ads. And then I started seeing people like Mario Gabrielli with like 50,000 plus subscribers. I'm like, how are these people doing this? So I just started reverse engineering it and created my own newsletter about doing just that. So.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. So let me ask you really quickly, how quickly, I know you recently posted that you got your first few sponsors and different things. What were kind of the main things? I know that a lot of people are going to love to devour this because newsletters are just exploding in so many different ways. And it's like one of the best ways to deplatform your audience, because if shit hits the fan with Twitter, we're all doomed and all this other stuff. So what's been sort of the top like couple things that you've noticed that a lot of people are doing? And I guess some of the tactics you would share with people that, you know, maybe looking to grow their newsletter and, maybe have some of that hyper growth.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things and some of them are kind of boring. Like the first one, it takes like 2.5 to 3 years minimum. Like Everyone always thinks like you could just, I don't know, hit that viral thread and get it going faster, but it actually just takes that long.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is like focusing on one platform. So like instead of trying to be on LinkedIn and Twitter and Instagram and all the things, just like pick one and like really double down on it, figure it out. And then you can kind of see that exponential growth. Like a Justin Welsh who, you know, he was on LinkedIn and he waited until he had like 300,000 followers there to move over to Twitter. Yeah. And then started growing his newsletter, and now he's at like 80,000 in like a year. So
yeah, that was really impressive when I saw those numbers. I think also Twitter taking away the little subscribe button has probably hurt a lot of people's growth a little bit. Yeah. So.
It was a little too easy there for a while.
It was. Hopefully they'll bring something back. But how have you been growing yours primarily at the moment? Have you been, I don't know if you said, have you been running any ads against your newsletter or anything?
Not yet. I'm trying to do it organically for now. We'll see. I'm sure I will in the future. But for now, it's mostly cross promotions. So like shouting people out in my newsletter and having them shout me out.
Nice.
And then Sparkloop has a tool called Upscribe, which after someone signs up for my newsletter, they'll get like the 3 recommended newsletters to sign up for. So kind of swapping those recommendations has really helped too.
Nice. I think I just got an invitation from that. Are you on ConvertKit as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I'm using too. I'll need to get Sparkloop tied into all of my stuff. But what is, when you say you were running ads, what kind of platforms did you focus on? Did you like go across all social media, or what was sort of the journey there?
Yeah. So I actually, I was working at AAA, like the towing company.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, not the sexiest business.
No. So I was in their like e-business department, and I had been learning from, I found Pat Flynn, started listening to his podcast, okay. Like went really deep into a rabbit hole. And I started trying to do SEO for AAA, which they were doing none of that. So they were like kind of laughing at me saying I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But they let me go. They let me run with it. And then like probably 6 months later, their ads guy left, their Google ads guy. And they were like, oh, you know how to do the organic stuff. You could just do the paid stuff, right? And I was like, I've never run a Google ad in my life. And they were like, okay, great. Here's like hundreds of thousands of dollars a month to go run ads. And I was like, all right. So I started learning Google ads on the fly. So that was my main like channel. And then I started delving into like Facebook and Instagram. But
that's amazing. Yeah. Those are always the best stories when you just get thrown into a fire and you're like, sure, I'll spend your money on shit I don't know about.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Thankfully, the campaigns were already running. So I was just like kind of helping them along. But
it was
a lot of money. I was like, okay.
Well, it sounds like maybe I'm a little off, but it sounds like you have this knack for like going down like rabbit holes. Like what? I want to know what happens there. Like what triggers that? Cause I have a little bit of that, but I don't feel like I go nearly like, I go like, head underwater and you go like, hey, give me like a scuba tank. I'm going all the way deep down into the waters.
That's awesome. Yeah. So speaking of Jesse, ADHD yeah. Jesse, I found him probably 8 months ago on Instagram and okay. I was like, oh, I definitely have ADHD.
Yeah.
Just like started, again, going down a rabbit hole, learning like everything about ADHD and all the stuff. So I'm not fully like diagnosed, but I am 100% have it.
I think
it.
We're all diagnosed, self-diagnosed at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's part of it is like I will go as deep as I can on something and then I just want to be done with it. So like it's been a problem most of my life with work because like I'll get really excited about like this new business and then I like do all of the things and then I'm like bored 2 weeks later.
Okay.
So
okay.
With this newsletter, it's awesome because I can like dive deep into one person and then like spend a week on it and then just like walk away. It's perfect.
That's amazing. How many hours do you think you spend on average going down these like rabbit holes in a specific like, let's say person or topic or whatever it might be?
I mean, it's probably at least 20.
Okay.
I was keeping track in the beginning and then it was just too much work to keep track. So it's at least 20 though.
Yeah, because I recently had Danny Miranda on the podcast and he's I feel like he has a version of you in him for podcasts. He goes like super deep into people's lives where I think I watched a podcast and someone was like, how did you know that my wife worked here? And he was like, I don't know. I just scoured the internet. And I was like, that's borderline creepy. But
yeah.
No, I think it's amazing because I've never been a quote unquote research person myself. But I feel like now, you know, you can find information so much easier. But how many of these deep dives have you done so far since you started your newsletter?
15. So I started on December 4th was the first time I sent one out. So wow. 15 of them. So it's like pretty short, but long enough.
And did you already have a Twitter following at that point or did you kind of like build those at like parallel?
Yeah. So I had probably 7,000 subscribers from like a past life. So I had a couple okay. blogs about like personal finance and other things. So I had those from like the past, but I've never been one to like post on Twitter like I do now.
Okay.
So it's pretty new for the rest of the followers.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And what was the past life? So you said finance. So what was that all about? You just were interested in it or?
Yeah. So I, when I found Pat Flynn, like he was the first episode I listened to was an interview with him and this guy named Glenn Alsop. And he is somebody who just like, or he was at the time building affiliate websites and like just printing money. And I was like, there's no way this is a real thing. Like this was my first introduction to like internet business.
Yeah.
So I started like learning and I was like, I'm going to start my own website. So I started a website on personal finance just about paying off my student loan debt. It was like really boring topic. I don't know how I thought I was going to make money with that. But
you'd be surprised the shit that people make money with. So I wouldn't, it's not too far-fetched, I feel like.
Yeah. So that I started like meeting people in the personal finance industry, like digital people. And I went to, a conference with that. And then those people needed help with ads. So then it kind of like both of my worlds came together, if you will. So yeah, I don't know.
That's amazing. Are you, so do you run any like side businesses other than obviously like the newsletter is now like, you know, you've obviously just monetized the newsletter, right?
Yeah. So I just have clients for now and then the newsletter, but I would love to make the newsletter my full-time thing.
That's awesome. Are you planning on like, you know, doing any other side businesses? Do you have any other ideas brewing that you're kind of, I'm sure when you're doing all this research, you're like, whoa, so many people are doing this thing, but there's not like a solution for this thing or something that's, do you have those, does that come about or are you just kind of like focusing on this for the moment?
I think the thing that's hardest for me not to do is like start another like daily newsletter in like some crazy field and just try and scale it super fast.
Yeah.
Because you see all these people doing it and I'm like, oh, like 6 months ago, I could have done that. Like, it's really hard not to like get the shiny object syndrome.
Yeah, no, I get the same thing with like products and businesses. I'm just like, oh, this thing, we could build this in like 3 days. Like, why would we not do this?
Yeah, I think on my side is the fact that I can't build software or anything, because if I knew how to do that, I would be all over the place.
Probably a good thing, yeah. Right?
It's probably a good thing.
So where are you based out of, if I may ask you?
I'm in Wilmington, Delaware. So 20 minutes south of Philadelphia. Yeah.
Oh, nice, nice. That's awesome. Yeah.
No, I've just no one's like, ever been to.
where everyone registers their business for tax purposes.
Yeah, I actually live here. Nobody else does.
Yeah, all their mail is going to your house now.
Right.
No, that's really awesome. So what other as you're kind of going through this journey, like what's some of the other stuff you're seeing as like, you know, spreading yourself into the creator space? I know there's just like so many topics that people are talking about. And I feel like everyone's always saying like niche down or find your niche or whatever else it is. And I feel like you have a great little like corner that you're carving out for yourself. But what's kind of the next thing for you here? Are you developing something else? Are you like looking at doing something different, some other deep dives into like maybe full-blown companies or whatever else it is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, for now, I think I'll stick with the newsletters for a little bit. But I mean, I'm having the issue where like there's these really well-known people, like for instance, Jack Butcher. And I spent five, 6 hours yesterday like listening to podcasts and then come to realize he like shut down his newsletter a year ago. So I'm like, oh, I can't even do a deep dive on him. So I'll probably expand it a little bit more. But
wow, I wonder why he did that. Was there any reason for that?
I don't know. I mean, he mentioned on a couple podcasts that like he just would rather be on social and the newsletter was kind of like secondary. But I mean, he still has like a sign up form, but I don't think he's sending it regularly.
That's really interesting. I feel like somebody at his caliber right now would I mean, I don't understand. There must be a reason.
I mean, I hope I'm wrong because I want to keep doing this deep dive. But
oh, man. So what I was going to ask is like, now that you've sort of also grasped like building your Twitter account, and I think you're growing pretty quickly because you're doing the work. Like I see so many people just, you know, sort of cutting the corners, and that's why I want to give you like major props on all the heavy research you're doing and putting the hours in. Because I mean, having a job on top of everything, I know it's not easy, but some of the stuff I see out there is just like people, you know, wanting to grab the clout from others by mentioning about them, but you're actually taking your time and being like, no, this is like a multi-tweet thread. I'm going into things that you will never read anywhere, like without doing some heavy research. Like what sort of, I guess my question is like, where is that, you know, a connection when it comes to building your own account, I don't think you're building it on the back of other people, but I'm thinking like you're using such great information and sharing it with people. And that's what's amazing. Sometimes your audience just needs to hear from you because they don't want to put in the work. Like I read your shit because I'm never going to do that work. Right. Like you know what I mean? So what's kind of triggering you to do the next thing of like growing your Twitter account? Is there like another niche you're after? Are you, you know, what does the future look like?
That's a good question. I don't know. For now, I'm enjoying just like doing these deep dives and just trying to figure out a way to make it a full-time thing. So
yeah,
bring income in from just like not only sponsors. So I think I need to do a better job of like taking all the things I've learned and being like, okay, here's one really big thing you need to focus on, and here's who did it and how they did it and all that, instead of just like a specific person, maybe focus on like a specific tactic.
Okay.
And just kind of share those, like, you know, back into it from a different angle. So I don't know. I've thought about like building a course around that kind of thing, just like a video course. Mm-hmm. And then somebody over email the other day was begging me to create a paid community. I was like, why?
Yeah. I don't see how that paid community would work, but I do see like a newsletter building course, like based on, you know, you have data at this point, and I think that goes a long way. But I feel like also that information that you have, I mean, I think, you know, having it in your newsletter goes a long way, but man, I think there should be some sort of like paywalled info outside of the newsletter where people could get certain snippets, like almost like a Google of newsletters for creators type of thing, when people could be like, how did so-and-so build their thing, and just give those like certain points. I don't know. There's something interesting here where I feel like you're knocking on the right door. I just feel like one's going to open. You're going to be like, oh shit, I figured it out.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Everyone keeps telling me to charge for it, and I'm like, yeah, but I kind of like that it's free. And I don't want to like hinder the growth of it either. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Other tactics do you think you'll use for like monetization purposes? Because I think that's also a really interesting topic with some of these newsletters. I feel like, you know, ConvertKit is now pushing a lot of paid newsletters, and they're trying to like get people to go down that rabbit hole. What sort of monetization things are you going to be doing outside of sponsorships?
I really don't know. I need to figure that out though.
Yeah.
Because I want to keep doing this, and it's a lot of work. So, I mean, I've been thinking about kind of taking what I've learned and doing audits of sorts for people, or like helping somebody who's just getting started kind of figure out their angle or what they could be doing better. So I don't know. It could be a service. It could be.
Yeah. No, that's really cool.
At this point, but
really impressive work, though. I just want to give you your. I don't want it to go unnoticed. Like the amount of work. I'm sure you get enough accolades, but like I said, really impressive stuff. I'm really juiced to hear about kind of what you're doing and all that stuff. So props to you on doing the heavy lifting that probably 90% of us won't ever do.
Well, thanks. Yeah. I need to get better with like Twitter and that kind of thing though, instead of just posting my weekly thread. But I'm doing Ship 30 next month, so hopefully that'll help me kind of get that wheel spinning.
So I'm doing it for like my fourth time.
Oh, nice. You're doing it next month too?
Yeah. I'm starting the April one. So I started literally 12 months ago. And it's probably the single course that I took that unlocked me to write online. Like literally I was one of those people for, I don't know how many years in the back of my mind, I knew, oh, I need to start writing. Had like a, you know, 10 plus years of like doing shit online, project manager, building businesses, doing all kinds of stuff. And just like, you know, it's just like kind of what you're doing right now. You're doing a lot of research. I had like a lot of experience. I'm like, man, I just want to share this with people. But, you know, school kind of fucked up writing for me, which I think it did for a lot of people. So,
you know, five like paragraph essays and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was like, man, I really need to. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday about this. And I was like, man, I just kept seeing Ship 30 everywhere on my timeline, the social proof, the community. And I was like, man, I just need to join this. And if it's a big scam, let it be a big scam. But man, they've done a great job at, you know, tricking me into it. And then when I joined, I was like, man, this is one of the best things. I'm actually still part of the community, like on a captain's table. They do this like second layer of the community. So I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Like it's one of the, hey, I mean, are you a writer, right? Like, do you like writing, or are you just kind of like wanting to, you know, oil your bearings at this point?
Yeah, I like writing, but I've never been good at like the social media aspect of it. So that's where I'm hoping this really helps me kind of like take concepts and like make them smaller and that kind of thing. Get better at threads and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I don't know if you've considered it, but I know with like TikTok now, it's like these like short clips. I feel like a lot of your content people would really devour in like short form video, like just giving them tips like, so-and-so grew their thing in this many, you know, sign up for my newsletter to find out, like, have you tried that at all? Or
I haven't, just trying to, you know, like ones I'm no longer working with, like paid ad clients, I'll probably have more time to do that kind of thing. But for now, I'm just trying to keep my head above water with these deep dives and Twitter.
Man, social media sometimes, I swear, it just like, it'll take over. If you're not careful about time blocking, I feel like it's you know. But how do you manage your time? Like, how much time are you spending on Twitter and like engaging and stuff like that?
Way too much.
The best answer.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, I want to turn off these notifications, but then some things, it's like, if you miss out on something and you don't see it for 5 hours, like, I don't know.
Chanel, one of the best things I did is turn off Twitter notifications. I'm telling you, it's like a life hack, I feel like.
I will have to do that soon. They're getting a little crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. No, this is awesome. So what do you do on your off time? Or are you just spending a lot of time on Twitter and you just...
Yeah, pretty much. but no, like I'll try and... So I've kind of put a good habit with all of my research. So I listen to tons of podcasts now, like a lot. Good. So I started walking like 2 hours a day. So I'll listen to the podcast while I walk.
Oh, good.
Kind of like, you know, habit so I'm not stacking. Just like sitting here. Yeah, that. I knew there was a fancy term for it.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Yeah.
No, so. I absolutely love that. It's anything else you want to touch on? I know I've been going for about 20 minutes and but anything you want to touch on, anything you want to talk about, anything that interests you, anything you're seeing out there that you want to share? I mean, I'd love to talk about absolutely anything. You know, the whole podcast is just really about, you know, creators and entrepreneurs, which I feel like you fall into both buckets, like just kind of the journey of how you started and all this other stuff. So is there anything else that, you know, interests you, anything you're seeing out there? Do you like, what the fuck is going on with this?
Well, I saw that you created, I think, an app that helps you find like baseball teams or football teams and like you can like download their schedule. You did that, right?
Oh, yeah. So that was...
I don't know where I saw this.
Oh, yes. That's interesting because I haven't posted about it in a while. But yeah, I'm one of those... I don't know. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to like connect very much. But one of my big things in life in general... Do you know who Kevin Rose is?
Yeah.
Okay. So Kevin Rose went on, I think, the My First Million podcast or one of the podcasts. I think it was My First Million, actually. And he said something that just like, you know, when somebody says something and just like, it just like gives you chills. You're like that connects with me. He said, when I have a problem and I don't see a solution, I go build a solution. And that like spoke to me on levels that I don't think I can explain to anybody in words or anything like that. And from that point, well, and that just happened recently, but from that point forward, that was the mentality that I had been already like encompassing. And so anytime I have any sort of like problem or something that I've done that I feel like can help other people, I'm one of those people that I'm just like, I have a problem and I need a solution, even if it's just for myself. I don't need to have a million people on it. I don't care about building a unicorn company or anything like that. So with that sports calendar app, basically all I did was, you know, I'm a huge soccer fan. So I enjoy watching like English Premier League. And I was like, I would love to know. And the World Cup was coming around. So I was like, dude, you know how cool it would be just to be able to go to your team, your country, whatever else it is, and just download their schedule and add it to your calendar and just have the option to look there and not have to go, you know, I don't know if you ever do this, but man, going through finding a calendar for your sports team is a fucking shit show. Like, it's just absolutely terrible. And that's basically where that idea came from.
Well, I brought it up because my wife spent probably 5 hours last weekend going through and adding like the NWSL schedule, like the Phillies baseball, like all of this, like to one little like Google sheet. And I was like, oh my God. Cause like last summer we would be like, what are we going to do this weekend? And we never knew like when the local soccer team was playing or anything like that. So it's just like having those there is like super easy to be like, oh, we should do that this weekend or something.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
I saw that you built that and I was like, man, where was this like 3 weeks ago?
Well, if you tell me, cause we use like an API on the back end, if you tell me what teams, and I'm pretty sure we cover kind of the more the major like league, you know, sports and stuff, but okay. I'm always happy to add it on there. And I mean, it's just a matter of like going into this database and finding if there's like some sort of informational feed, if it's already pre-scheduled. Like UFC, for example, doesn't have one. That was like our biggest request. And so it's like, we almost have to go in and add shit manually or whatever. So it's just like a hassle. But yeah, just send me a list. But yeah, that's always been my thing. Like any problem that I see out there that I have, I'm like, we need to find a solution for it because there's nothing out there like this.
No, I love that. I love that. That's so cool. So did you build that yourself or did you like hire someone to help?
No. So what I did is I had this idea sitting, man, probably for 4 or 5 months. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to post this out there, Twitter, LinkedIn, and I'm just going to blow it out there and see who responds and if somebody says something. And then somebody I knew, my friend Henry, was like, hey, you should connect with so-and-so. He built something similar. And I was like, oh, so there is something like that. And I'm one of those people. I'm not out there for competition. I'm like, if you already have something, I'll just use it. But if you don't, I'll build it. And he connected me with one of his buddies and he was like, I built something similar for events, but not for sports. And I was like, dude, if you want to partner up on this and just kind of build something together, I'm down. And I was like, but if we can, let's try to use like no code tools. Cause I don't want to sit here and spend 3 months building this. Like I want to move fast. Like I'm one of those people that just don't, I'm ADHD, back to that topic. So like, I need it now. I need it fast. And he goes, yeah, I mean, most of it's already done. So he just built it out for me. There was a little bit of technical work that needed to be done, but most of it was just kind of connecting, you know, wires and making sure that, you know, all that stuff was there. So, but yeah, that was awesome. That was one of the big things.
The magic of the internet, just finding people who are in your network that you didn't even know were doing.
You know, and that's what I feel like people underutilize. I don't know how often, you know, people reach out to you. I'm sure they do more so now than before, but people just have sometimes a terrible approach of doing that. Like they don't have a good cadence for like DMs. And I literally started writing a Twitter thread. I was like, respect people. Like, do you go up to somebody at a coffee shop and you just like hit them on the back? Like, hey, you want to buy my service? Like, no, you go and you say, hey, I saw you're doing this, whatever. You get to chat with them. You get to know them. You build a little bit of rapport. And then you say, oh, what do you do? And then you can talk about whatever the fuck you're doing. But I feel like DMs are just such a disrespectful place sometimes.
They're so weird. And like, for me, I think people just copy and paste stuff all the time. So I get a lot of like, hey, bro. And I'm like, really? Like, you couldn't have even tried. Delete.
Yeah. I'm like, block and report. Not just delete. I'm like, block and report. Yeah. I think we need to have a session or if you have some on the top of your mind of like the worst DMs. I just got like 3 of them from all these like masculinity accounts where it's just like, hey, bro, love your content. I'm like, you don't even fucking follow me. Like, what are you talking about?
It's so bad. Like, it's just, why waste your time? Like, it's, I don't know.
I know. I feel like Elon needs to put some time into fixing DMs. I feel like it's just a complete disaster.
Yeah. And then yesterday or something, this big account asked me if I wanted to be part of their affiliate program. And I'm like, I don't even know what your company does. Like,
right, why? Right. Exactly. Exactly. No, so that's weird. It's crazy. Twitter is a crazy world. Now, do you do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn as well? Or do you post a lot of your stuff on LinkedIn? Or do you just focus on Twitter at the moment?
It's just Twitter at the moment. I've been posting my carousel, like, you know, little fancy carousels, just my Twitter threads, essentially.
Right.
Screenshots of them or whatever. But, I mean, it helps get followers. Like, I'm not really doing much else on there. So, yeah. Maybe interacting here and there. But I probably should because I think I'm growing faster over there than I am on Twitter. But,
dude, LinkedIn has a lot of juice right now because, you know, I phrased it this way to somebody. Somebody tweeted something about like growth on LinkedIn is absolutely crazy. And I was like, yeah, because people are sitting, they're back at work, they're sitting at work, and they're reading Twitter threads on LinkedIn. So it looks like they're doing something for work, but they're not. Like, they're just reading Twitter threads.
That's so true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's, I think, the big thing that's happening over there. And it's just, I think people are just completely consumed. Like, oh, I didn't get to read this on Twitter, so I'm going to swipe through the swipe file here. That's like, so, but it's a good way to grow.
Do you post there?
Yeah, I cross-post a lot of my stuff on both platforms. Just because, like, you know, I think some people are maybe afraid to do so because they, you know, they have a 9-to-5 and they don't want their boss to like read what they're writing about or whatever, but I don't have to worry. Luckily, I don't have to worry about any of that shit. I just kind of do whatever the fuck I need to do.
Yeah. I just feel like it's so slow on there compared to Twitter. Like on Twitter, you'll get like immediate replies, and on there, it's like slower.
Yeah. It's interesting though, because people, you know, even like we were talking earlier, like Justin Welch going from LinkedIn first, but also like, I feel like for him, he had a little, I don't want to say an advantage because, you know, obviously he built everything himself, but the fact that he jumped the gun on building like his in LinkedIn OS like product, that gave him, I think, a lot of leverage, because anybody I feel like that's looking for that, they just find him immediately. So he definitely carved out a nice piece of LinkedIn for himself from just, you know, simply launching something like that.
Yeah, he did. And now he's like exploding on Twitter, which is awesome to see.
Yeah, he is. Did you find anything interesting about him in terms of like his growth or anything that he did? Because he's been testing. I can tell that he's been testing a lot of cool tactics about growing his newsletter.
Yeah, I think the coolest thing, it seems so methodical, like the way he's like repurposing his content. So he'll post something on LinkedIn and then like later it'll be on Twitter, and then he'll repost it on LinkedIn like 3 months later. I don't know. It's just fascinating. And he's not afraid to like take the same concept and like reuse it over and over again, because if it's working, like why would you change it?
I'm a big fan of that, actually. Yeah. I mean, I've consumed that part of it a lot, because I've just, you know, I mean, you just said it, Twitter just moves so damn fast. Like you could post something right now, you could post the best thing, but I feel like if you post it at a time when everyone's at work, you just lose all the steam because nobody's like scrolling through. So it's like, you got to find these little gaps. And I actually, talking about solving problems, I've been going through this thing because, you know, I was talking to somebody earlier, like writing a newsletter is, you know, a lot of work, especially for you. You, I think, put in more work than most people that I know. I think like it's you and like Sahil Bloom. Like Sahil's like, I don't know if you've ever, have you done his deep, are you going to do a deep dive on him?
Eventually, but there's just so much content. Like I need to, oh my God, like, it's crazy.
Dude, his newsletters are just like novels. And I'm like, man, can you cut this down? Can we get like excerpts of this stuff? Because I just don't have the time to read all this. But I mean, obviously very valuable information. But for me, it's like my newsletter is sort of this, the pillar content at the top. And so recently, I think three weeks ago, I was like, man, I need to make my system more efficient. And maybe this will like resonate with you. I need to take the newsletter, I need to flip that into a nicely formatted thread. That thread needs to now be chopped up into different smaller tweets. And then from those tweets, we could create like a LinkedIn post, or, you know, cut down the newsletter pieces into LinkedIn posts, whatever else it is. And this all should happen pretty quickly. And it doesn't need to be 100%, but it could be, you know, 90% of the work, and you can go in and do some small edits. Because what I found myself doing is like, I'll put all this work into my newsletter, and then all of a sudden, like, I got to go write a Twitter thread. I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, this is a whole different job. Same. Like, it's almost, yeah, exactly. So I reached out to one of my developers, one of my buddies, and I was like, hey, man, I have an idea. I was like, let's use, because I figured it out on ChatGPT on how to do it and, like, prompt it to do the thing. And I was like, you know, why don't we do this? I want basically a text field where I could drop in my newsletter, and then select from maybe three different types of templates. So it could be, you know, let's call it, you know, template one is you have a headline, then you have bullet points, and then you have maybe like a closing sentence that will be like the first tweet and then second. And then, you know, you could figure out the hook and all that other stuff and create a thread out of that, but format it in a way where it's consumable, character count taken into consideration, all these other things. And he was like, yeah, but the prompts are the easy part. I was like, the hard part. I was like, no. I got the prompts figured out. We just need to like now convert it. So hopefully, I'm hoping in the next like 3 weeks, he just sent me like designs and how it's going to look. It's like very simplified, but we're calling it like a content remix system where it's not writing anything for you. Like AI is not doing any of the writing. It's taking what you put in and it's just formatting it for you and chopping it up the proper way, so that you, doing all the hard work with your research, you could say, ah, now I can build a, you know, a 20 tweet thread, and then I can go in and chop up the things that I additionally want to edit, but it's going to give you, you know, like I said, 90% of the work done.
I'm in.
You are. You're like, I'm already stretched on time. I'm in.
And then add to that, like, taking a screenshot of it and posting it on LinkedIn.
Exactly. And that's going to be sort of the next thing. But now, like, I'm a big fan of just getting the first version out. So it's going to give you like a word, because, you know, LinkedIn, I think it's like, what, 4,000 character or words or whatever else it is. Like, so it's like, you know, the post can be pretty long on there. Not that people read that, but just taking that and giving it like a almost like a summary version or a piece of that content into a LinkedIn post. So that's going to be kind of the next phase of it. But yeah, taking the image and all that stuff is going to be sort of the next piece of it.
So again, do you post your newsletter on LinkedIn?
Like, no, as those, like, long posts? So now I take my newsletter, I create a thread, and then I'll just go in and, you know, I'll prompt ChatGPT and be like, okay, don't rewrite any of the content, just format it and make it, you know, because also for like LinkedIn, it requires, I feel like it can't be big blocks of text. Like, I try to write also my newsletter in more of like a single line format. I'll sometimes have little chunks of text, but I always what do I like? Because what I like is probably what most people will like visually like. And so when it comes to LinkedIn, I feel like the white space is a really big factor where you get your eyes to rest a little bit, not just be like, what the, you know, like these big chunks of text. So I'll take like pieces of my newsletter and I'll throw it up there, like, you know, like a week after it's already come out and all that stuff. Like, I don't do it on the day or anything like that.
No, that's awesome. I need to do more of that. Because right now I'm just like posting the images of my Twitter thread.
Right. Yeah. Which I think, honestly, there's been people doing a little bit of that research. And I think those are the what performs really well, because it's visuals and people could just kind of swipe through. But like reading like a long post, like, our attention spans are the size of peanuts at this point. So it's like,
yeah, it's pretty bad.
So I'll let you know when that launches. So maybe it'll make your life at least like I said, 90% easier, even if it saves you like an hour of time. I feel like it's going
to, I'm happy to be beta tester number one. Oh, let me know. Perfect.
We'll sponsor your newsletter. How about that?
Yes. Love it.
Are you using any other AI tools or anything to like generate content or anything like that?
I want to, but like my articles are so long that I've pasted them into ChatGPT and they tell me it's too long. So I try to do like half and half. Like, because I was like, maybe it'll write me something, like a nice little LinkedIn something or other. And it's like, nope. So I don't know if the plus version lets you have longer inputs, but.
I think it, maybe.
I might have to.
I know that ChatGPT 4, like the newest version of it, is like, has a cap on a lot of stuff, because they're just like, don't overload our systems, because I feel like that shit goes down every other day. I'm just like getting annoyed with it at this point.
Well, marketers ruin everything, so. I'm sure it's all of us just like overwhelming the system.
Yeah, exactly. Have you thought about, for the ad side of things, have you thought about like doing like your own little agency or anything like that?
No, not yet. No. I don't know. I kind of want to get away from doing paid ads clients. So like that just feels similar to me, but we'll see.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that trend's been dying out quite a bit in terms of like Facebook and all this shit that's been going on. Like, if you're not running like a D2C brand, I feel like nowadays it's like ads are just kind of, I don't know. I'd be actually curious to know how your newsletter would perform against ads, because you do have a lot of value there. So I'd be interested to see how that does.
Yeah, I guess it would just be trying to showcase that value quickly on an ad.
Yeah, it's like find out the fastest newsletter growth tactics or something like that.
Yeah. Weird meme or something.
Yeah. right. Yeah, that's interesting. There's so many. I mean, I look at like Product Hunt. I don't know how much time you spend on Product Hunt, but man, I feel like every app now is just AI, AI, AI. I'm like, dude,
and this every is newsletter getting... is too.
Oh man, I've seen people do some crazy shit with AI and I'm like, dude, you literally were just talking about something completely different and you just said, oh, this is my little viral moment that I need to catch, and people are just going all in on AI. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to figure out what's going to still be here, because like, I'm sure AI will still be here, but who knows like what, I don't know what it's going to look like.
So which one of your threads has done like the best on Twitter when you did these kind of these teardowns and everything?
I think the Justin Walsh one so far has done the best. But oh, really? he like Yeah. Well, it's hard to say because so Pat Walls, the guy who runs Starter Story.
Yeah.
He like retweeted my thread and then he found the article and like shared it on his own. Like,
oh, shit.
On his own timeline and told people to like go sign up. And I was like, whoa. So like his might have done more, but like just based on the thread, it was probably the Justin Walsh one.
Oh, nice. Nice. But yeah. Did Pat show did me you a solid any love? There. Did Justin show you love?
He did, yeah. He
okay.
He retweeted it and he told me he thought it was awesome and he's a cool guy.
That's cool.
He's like, yeah, if you ever need anything, I'm just another dude on the internet with 200,000 followers. Like, I'm just another guy. It doesn't matter. He's really cool. Like,
no, he seems chill. I've seen some of his like podcasts, like I said, the one with Danny Miranda, and I like his approach. I think he's gone through the shit, and it's really nice to see somebody, you know, the authenticity, being genuine, and you know, just talking about the things he enjoys talking about. And I think if a lot more people just took that part of it and just understood that, like, the authenticity is what's really at the end of the day going to connect people. And that's why I said, like, I really enjoy reading your stuff because I feel like you didn't just go in and like put a bunch of links together and all this other shit. Like, you went and did the work and it's like coming from your point of view, talking about somebody else. You're not writing a coattail. You're not doing any of that shit. You're just literally giving people insight into something that, you know, Justin Welsh probably himself would share in a way, but he's never going to go that deep into it because he's just like, I don't need to do that. Type
of thing. So. Yeah. And like what I'm realizing is that people will say the same things on different podcasts, but there's always like a different spin on it or another detail. Mm-hmm. So like by me listening to like 20 to 30 of their interviews, like I catch all of those things and I'm just kind of like compiling it into one spot, which is pretty cool.
So do you have a super organized system to get all this information down? Like, are you like read wise? Like, what do you do to like capture all of this? Cause I feel like that's where a lot of people would fall off if they tried to do something. It's like, how do I consolidate all this information? How do I, you know, all that stuff? How do you, what's your process?
Yeah, it's changed since I started. It's crazy. So like, as I'm going, Notion? Like, I tried Notion. I don't know. I just can't get myself to stick with it. So like I have stuff in Notion, but I don't know. So I have stuff in Readwise.
Okay. But
after a while, like I'll capture so much stuff and then I get so caught up in like the podcast notes I have or something that I forget to go back to Readwise. So like, I don't know. A lot of it lives in my brain. But yeah, I'll just – I use Apple Notes and Spotify for now. I was using Overcast, but it got really buggy.
Yeah, you know, I feel like people have tried all these tools. There's like the Evernotes, the Notions, all these other things. And for some reason, I just see people going back to Apple Notes. Like they'll post screenshots of something. I was like, oh, you're back on the old, nice, Apple Notes does what it does. Like, I think Apple's really good at just like solving the bare minimum problems in a really like elegant way. And I see myself too. I literally have a note in my Notion to say, go check your Apple Notes for ideas that you've written down.
That's awesome.
Like, idiot, you've been in other apps. Like, go fucking look at it because I'm sure there's something golden in there that you're like, now you're in Notion. You're like blank page again. I'm like, no. There's like shit in there that I could utilize for like the next like 3 months probably.
Yeah. And I think with Apple Notes, like, I forget things quickly. So like if it doesn't open fast or whatnot, like I'll stop using it. Like I was using Obsidian for a while, but my phone, every time I open it, it's like reloading, like it's syncing all of the things. And I'm like, I'm out. Like I got to go to Apple Notes.
Yeah. Your like thought is already gone. Idea is gone. Like whatever else it is. Yeah. No,
I love the idea of it, but it's just too much.
I know. And I was on Rome Research before and I almost killed myself because they don't have an Apple, like an iPhone app. And I'm like, how do you not have an app? Like,
and it's like the most expensive one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so, my whole thing is like having it on the front screen and like double tapping it and going new note and like right away just opening up something.
That's nice.
Yeah. And now I'm trying to create a shortcut where it like every time I add a new note, like send it to Notion and it just doesn't work for some reason.
It's because you shouldn't be using Notion.
I know. I think the signs are telling me, like, do not use Notion. So it's just,
that's another one. Like, trying to open that on my phone, I feel like it's just loading or spinning. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. There's so many tools. I'm one of those people where I just have, you know, I have fucking, I don't know, like 3-4 notebooks like sitting on my desk, and I'm writing shit down. And I was on a call somebody. I was like, dude, I literally had that idea. And I'm like, I wrote it down, and I'm going through. I was like, I have no idea which notebook. Like, I have one journal notebook, and then I have Apple Notes, Notion, Evernote, like all this shit. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, this is terrible.
It's here somewhere. Where is
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I know. Exactly. But yeah, the journaling thing for me has been probably the best thing to like get my ideas down. Like, I journal yeah. every day, and I was just like, the best thing I could do for myself, I feel like.
I need to do that. I keep telling myself that it's such a good idea, but I haven't done it.
Okay, so that's really funny that you say that, because 2 weeks ago, I was like, you know what? I was sitting in a coffee shop, and I had a crazy story. The guy next to me, you know, just like, hey, what's up, man? And he was like sitting there reading like these big ass books. He had a journal and everything. And he's like, yeah, things could be better. And I was like, oh, is everything okay? Like, you know, whatever. And he was like, yeah, I was homeless 2 years ago. And I was like, whoa, like hit me out of nowhere. I was like, oh shit. And I was like, well, you know, he's like, but I'm good now. I have a job and all this. And we started talking. I was like, so do you journal every day? Because I saw him like writing stuff down. He goes, this is the only thing that kept me from like basically taking his life. And I'm like,
wow,
whoa. I was like, that's insane. I was like, because he saw me writing down. He's like, oh, are you journaling? I was like, yeah, I love coming to the coffee shop and just like writing stuff down and putting my thoughts on paper. And he goes, dude, one of the best things I've done. No joke. From that point, that was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. By 7 o'clock, I went on ConvertKit. I created a 30-day journaling habit prompt where it sends you a new email every day for 30 days that prompts you to write in your journal. It's just like one line, like talk about some meaningful stuff that happened today or whatever else it is. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to put a paywall behind this. So for like 25. And it was one of those things where like people were just like, I definitely needed this. And I was like, see, solving fucking problems.
Solving problems. It all comes full circle.
It all comes full circle. So if you ever need to start journaling, let me know. I'll throw you into the paid pile without having to pay for it. I think you'll enjoy it. It's just super simple. It's like five things on there. And it just every day you get a new prompt in your email. And it's like I literally 10 minutes of writing down. And I feel like that's what helped me so much. And like being part of Ship 30 and seeing like people like Dickie Bush and all this other stuff, you know, journaling every day. And I'm like, man, there's something there. And once I started doing it, I mean, the floodgates just open.
That's awesome. So you do handwritten journaling?
Yeah, that's all I do. So I don't do any like writing. It's literally like pages and pages of journal. Like every single day, it's like 2 to 3 pages of, and then sometimes I'll just put a timer for like 10 minutes and you will be surprised. Like, cause I don't know about you. You do have ADHD, like you said, but it's like my thoughts when I'm typing, like I can write a million words a minute, but with like writing, you almost have to stop and let your brain slow down a little bit because you can't move your hand that quickly. Yeah. And so that really helped me sort of like sit there, bullet point ideas. Oh, this is what, you know, what I want to write, like that sort of stuff. So I highly recommend it, Chanel. Like it's a really, really good process.
I'm going to have to try that. Yeah. Yeah. Cause I've always been like, why wouldn't I just type my journal? It's so much faster.
There's something about the handwriting that sticks a little bit differently. It's just like your mind goes to the paper. It doesn't go into some screen somewhere type of thing.
Okay. All right. I'll have to try it.
Yeah, hopefully I've convinced you to start journaling, and maybe in like 5 months you could be like, it changed my fucking life.
There you go. Probably.
I love it. This has been awesome. Anything else you want to riff on? I mean, we've been here for 45 minutes. No rush or anything, but you know, would love to talk about anything that you have that you want to talk about, or we can just, you know, kind of tap out and call it a day.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. I think we've talked about quite a bit.
I hope people understand how important Apple Notes are. That's, I think, the biggest takeaway. I love it.
I got to stick with my Apple Notes. I'm sure I will go back to something else soon.
Yeah, exactly. So tell people where they can follow you or sign up for your newsletter. Give a plug it all. Plug whatever you read. Yeah.
So it's growthinreverse.com is the newsletter. And then on Twitter and LinkedIn, I'm Chanel Co, ChenelCo. So
awesome. By the way, I love the way your name is spelled too, because it's so different than just like Chanel, like SH type of thing. So
yeah. Well, thank you.
Props to your parents.
I'll let them know. Thanks.
Yeah. Awesome. Chanel, it was honestly a pleasure. Thanks for coming on, and love the energy, love all the work you're putting in. So thanks for being on the pod. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Cheers.
Well, you made it to the end of the episode. Thank you so much for tuning into What Is My Brain podcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you got some value out of it. Make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button to get notified when new episodes are live. I'm out. Thank you.